www.deo.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the true story of a young woman with a mental illness, schizoaffective disorder. Her mother does her best to cope with it, but it became overwhelming when her daughter becomes despondent. Stay tuned to find out what happens, plus a little on the life of St. Nymphna and a prayer for the mentally ill on another Stories from the Heart. Schizoaffective disorder is a disease of the mind, a cruel malady that derails normal human thought processes and transforms the mind into a house of mirrors. Combining symptoms of both schizophrenia and bipolar mood disorder, schizoaffective is a diagnosis that only recently has come into use. No one knew the term when my daughter Mary Ellen was struck on the threshold of womanhood, twisting the usual travails of growing up into a life and death struggle. And while I was to learn that mental illness is merciless in its grasp, I was likewise to discover the power and beauty of divine intercession, especially one pivotal night in 1972. Mary Ellen was the youngest of five children whom I raised as a single mother. She was bright, articulate, and talented. She was on her high school speech team and wanted to be a lawyer. For good reason, everyone had high hopes for Mary Ellen. Doctors know that schizoaffective disorder involves a chemical imbalance in the brain, but it is difficult to make generalizations about this enigmatic disease. It sometimes runs in families and usually strikes in early adulthood. Its initial onset, difficult to distinguish from the storms of adolescence. Mary Ellen was 17 when she began showing symptoms, depression, hearing voices, and acting on an irresistible impulse. One week, Mary Ellen would be fine, and the next, well, not so fine. I took her to numerous specialists and even admitted her briefly to the teen unit at a private psychiatric hospital for what doctors there vaguely described as behavioral disorders. Finally, we got the first of many imprecise diagnoses we would hear through the years: borderline personality. It was an agonizing pronouncement for a mother to hear, but I stopped myself from questioning God. Instead, I prayed He would give me the strength to accept the situation. The late 60s and early 70s were a time of upheaval for this country, particularly for those coming of age. Mary Ellen was especially susceptible to the pull of rebellion and drugs. She had a strong conscience and demonstrated against the Vietnam War. She questioned authority, but because of her developing illness, the psychological pressures of these rites of passage took hard toll on her. In the despair of her depression, Mary Ellen withdrew from the world. Centuries ago, people believed mental illness was caused by demonic possession. By the 1960s, some psychologists were blaming it on parents or the environment. Today we know that in many mental illnesses, victims are biologically predisposed to become sick. But back when Mary Ellen was diagnosed, I felt incredible guilt. What terrible thing had I done as a mother to cause such suffering in my child? And what could I do to make it better? Whenever Mary Ellen went through depressions, a part of me went through it with her. My only recourse came from prayer and a strong faith that a loving God stood watch over us and protected my daughter when I couldn't. Lord, I prayed over and over again, don't let this disease take Mary Ellen away from me. Then came the night in the fall of 1972, one of those late September evenings when you suddenly realize dusk is coming earlier. It was after dinner, and Mary Ellen and I were alone in the house. I put my feet up in the living room and settled in with a book, grateful to relax after a long nursing shift at the Albuquerque hospital where I worked. Mary Ellen, who had been contending with a particularly bleak period of depression, retreated to her room after having barely touched her dinner. How I wanted to hold her, to go through the pain with her. If there had been any way to bear her misery, I would have. Instead, I knew it was better to leave her alone. I took what comfort I could in knowing that she was at least close by. But all at once, Mary Ellen flew through the living room and out the front door. In the split second it took her to go, I saw an unforgettable look of terrible suffering on her pale, drawn face. I jumped up but could only stare from the doorway as she tore to the driveway in my car. As a breeze ruffled the desert night, I was filled with dread. Call the police, I thought, but what would I tell them? That my daughter took off in our car? That she was depressed and they needed to pull her over? That wasn't enough for the police to go on. They dismissed me as just another hysterical mother. Yet, I couldn't stop remembering the attempt Mary Ellen had made during her hospitalization. Where had she gone, and what could I do? Pulling my rosary from my purse, I sat down on the couch, closed my eyes, and prayed. My whole being was so consumed by the act of prayer that I was no longer conscious of my surroundings, of even myself as someone praying. I became my prayer. I was praying the third decade of the rosary when I grew aware of an unworldly presence in the room. When I opened my eyes, I saw the face of a beautiful, strong, mature woman crowned in golden hair that seemed spun from pure light. She appeared in three dimensions, and her radiance seemed too bright to look upon, yet I could not gaze away. I was transfixed. Her head was turned to the side, slightly away from me, and her lips moved. I heard nothing, but she appeared to be speaking to someone, though clearly not to me. Her essence transmitted a divine and infinite compassion that transcended all human suffering. Her head turned, and I saw that she was smiling at me, a smile that seemed to touch me physically with its radiance. Never before and never since have I experienced such a perfect feeling of inner peace and strength. I was enveloped by a certainty that Mary Ellen and I were protected. A short time later, Mary Ellen came through the front door and immediately went to bed without saying a word. I didn't know where she had been. I was only grateful that she'd returned, and I'd been given a new hope and strength for the future. I wanted to rush and tell her about my incredible experience, but quickly decided I didn't want to risk frightening or confusing her. That night was many years ago, but the experience itself is ever present in my soul, almost as if it is not subject to the erosion of time. I have been readily able to draw on that extraordinary instant of peace and strength in my darkest moments of doubt and fear. I have kept my faith, but really, my faith has kept me. Advances in treatment have allowed Mary Ellen to live a far richer life than would have been possible a few decades ago. Her illness has been a journey for us both. One day, years after that autumn night, the time seemed right then to share with Mary Ellen my experience. I was overwhelmed when Mary Ellen in turn revealed to me what had happened to her on that very same night. She had driven her car to a lonely mesa near the foothills, the spot she had chosen to end it all. That was when the woman with the radiant vision appeared. She communicated with Mary Ellen, soothing her with mercy, understanding, and reassurance of God's infinite love for her. Speaking audibly, she said, "You must not do this to your mother." The vision faded and Mary Ellen drove home. Sharing our mutual vision at last gave us strength to continue on our difficult paths together, knowing God was guarding our way. Today, Mary Ellen lives independently in another state and does volunteer work with people who are less fortunate than she. Mental illness, including schizoaffective disorder, and many forms of depression are finally being seen by medical science for what they are, not caused by demons or failed parents or lack of self-control, but diseases of the mind rooted in biology. St. Dimphna is the patron saint of mental illness. She was born in the 7th century. Her father, Damon, a chieftain of great wealth and power, was a pagan. Her mother was a devout Christian. Dimphna was 14 when her mother died. Damon is said to have been afflicted with a mental illness brought on by his grief. He sent messengers throughout his own and other lands to find some woman of noble birth, resembling his wife, who would be willing to marry him. When none could be found, his evil advisors told him to marry his own daughter. Dimphna fled from her castle together with St. Gerebrand, her confessor, and two other friends. Damon found them in Belgium. He gave orders that the priest's head be cut off. Then Damon tried to persuade his daughter to return to Ireland with him. When she refused, he drew his sword and struck off her head. She was only 15 years of age. Dimphna received the crown of martyrdom in defense of her purity about the year 620. She is patron of those suffering from nervous and mental afflictions. Many miracles have taken place at her shrine, built on the spot where she was buried in Kiel, Belgium. Hear us, O God, our Savior, as we honor St. Dimphna, patron of those afflicted with mental and emotional illness. Help us to be inspired by her example and comforted by her merciful help. Amen. A prayer for those with mental illness. St. Dimphna, pray for me. Pray for my mental illness. Pray that my mental illness will not hinder my relationship with God, but that my suffering be united with Christ's suffering and have redemptive value. Pray that I endure my infirmities and tribulations in peace, so that by God Most High, I will be crowned. I pray for all those with mental illnesses, those affected by their illness, and for their caregivers. I pray that they endure their infirmities and tribulations in peace, so that by God Most High, they will be crowned. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story was written by Virginia Flanagan and published in Angels Among Us magazine. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria.